Even the man at the back, bless you, dear brother. Well, back to the beginning. I was checking your records, and I was awesomely amazed at how you keep messages here. And I found a message entitled Returning and Watching, August 16th, 2008. Wow. And I preached at that time on the seven churches. I said we'd all like, the seven churches of Revelation, we'd all like to be the church at Philadelphia. And then I said to you, I said, I have a confession to make. I'm having a problem watching. Watching unto the Lord. And I sort of emptied my heart out that day here. Well, I have good news for you. I think today is an update. And it's interesting that our Father in Heaven has allowed me to come here. It's like, okay, Clyde, that was part one. Now let's have part two. Let's see what's happened. And the brother that stood to testify, you just lit the match. Where are you? There you are. You lit the match because your testimony is just a little summary, a little down payment on the whole thing. And it's wonderful. And it was just nice of the Lord to give the Jude to Revelation there. And here we are. Awesome. Well, anybody have any idea what this is? Okay, you're getting it. Well, let me see if we can get it as we go along here. I'd like to turn you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 5, verse 19 and 20. Now, what would the topic of my message be with this little sign out in front here? All right, let's find out what the topic is. John 5, verse 19. Then Jesus answered and said to the disciples, that is, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, and whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. Well, now, if as watchmen, remember that message of August 16th, 2008? It concluded with, oh God, I'm really not watching as I should. Then what would you say could be a vision here if we summarize these verses? Well, you can't read what's in my mind, and what I'm going to share with you, I think, is the vision. But I really believe the vision here is seeing what the Father sees. Do you have a vision to wait on God in such a way that you are actually sitting like Jesus sat before the Father, and everything else is in your mind? Nothing else is important. Hey, put all the prayer requests aside. Put all the, dear God, help mommy and daddy and all the kids. And please help the people at the church. And, you know, so and so, well, you know, about, you know, all the prayer requests. Put them all aside. The vision of prayer. The Son can do nothing of himself, only what he sees the Father do. What is watching? What's Jesus' perspective on watching? What's Jesus' vision in watching? It's to keep his eyes on the Father. It's to go to the Father first. Before a long day, Jesus reaches out to the Father. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm sort of getting the idea that Jesus would just sort of be quiet and just worship the Father. Morning, Dad. What's up? What's on your heart? What's before me this day? I just want to tune into your heart. I'm listening. Hey, I got an hour or two. I got 10 minutes. I got 20. What does it matter? I'm just here. Father, I just want to know what's on your heart. Is that how you begin your prayers each day? Check your list. Put a check mark beside that one. Okay? Now, the vision, I believe, is followed by a question. This is sort of a provocative question. It follows what I've just said. It's sort of like, if you didn't check here, this can sort of help stimulate you, like our brother's testimony this morning. It can sort of stimulate you a little bit. And the question is this. It's found in Matthew 26, verse 41. And I don't want to take it out of context. I simply want to use the question and apply it here because I believe it's not a stretching of things. I believe it's just simply helping our focus. And Jesus said to the disciples, "Could you not watch with me 1 hour?" Okay? You ever found yourself in that position? Maybe you've spent all morning praying. You know what the Lord did to me in the midst of crisis? He said, "Watching is not what you think it is." I said, "Lord, well then tell me, what is it?" Well, let's go back to point one, the vision. Father, what's up? The church is filled with people, including Clyde, that don't begin that way. Couldn't you watch with me an hour? Couldn't you just be quiet? Couldn't you just contemplate? Couldn't you just listen? Couldn't you just watch? Not run and pray and shout about everything and have a big worship service and everything. No. Couldn't you just watch? How are we going to see what the Father's doing if we don't watch? Couldn't you just watch with me for an hour? That used to get inside of me, and I would always have this conjured up image of, "Oh God, I hope I can stay on my knees for an hour." Have you, anybody here identify with that? Raise your hand, come on. I hate to say it, but you're a bunch of liars. Every hand should go up and say, "I've had times when I've had a challenge for that hour." It'll come. Thanks. So, could you not watch with me an hour? Could you not sit in my presence and just enjoy me? Just hear my heart. Just keep your eyes on me. Returning and watching. Oh, friends, of Narka Street Assembly, August 16th, 2008. I'm sorry, but I've got to confess to you this morning, I just don't really understand this business of watching. Please pray for me. Chapter passé. Well, let's go on. You've got what? You've got the vision. Then you've got the question, could I not watch? And then, as we look at that question, could I not watch, I look at it and say, what's my perspective? We've got Jesus' perspective, right? Here's Jesus there. He's teaching us his perspective. This is my perspective. I watch the Father. All right? And then we've got our perspective about, well, you know, I tried to watch. I didn't really get through all the list I have because there's so much. I'm praying for all the missionaries. And the Lord says, excuse me? Excuse me? No. We're talking about watching. Oh. Okay. Our perspective. What is your perspective on watching? Where is the excitement? Where is the excitement level? Where is the joy level? Is it sort of, well, I have to do my hour now. I'm on one of those 24/7s. Oh dear, I promised 15 minutes. Oh God, can I get to it today? I got to pray over my list. What is your perspective on watching? Oh, did my life change? Please turn to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. Psalm 46. I'm getting so old, it takes me longer to find the pages. There we are. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Let's go back there. Be still and know that I am God. Be still. Shut up. Be still and know that I am God. I was in a really neat time of sharing with a Hebrew couple and a couple visiting from North America, the northern part called Canada. And as we were in this living room, we were reading that particular verse. And the dear sister, the Hebrew sister, Hebrew-speaking sister, she said, do you understand what that word be still means in Hebrew? I said, honestly, I don't. I would love to know. Please teach me. She said, it means drop everything, including your prayer list. Including all those prayer letters. Including praying for your pastor. Woo! Revolutionary! Man, I was standing there. I had a book in my hands. I had my Bible. And all of a sudden, I had a Holy Ghost ripcord experience. I don't know about you, but I've never had one before that. I've never had one since. It was truly a divine operation. I tell you, every ounce of strength went out of my body. I collapsed to the floor. My book went to the floor, and I lay there saying, oh, Jesus! Ever watched a sack of potatoes fall to the floor and go in all directions? That was me. That was me. I was completely broken. All my devotional book, 25 years, I love you, Jesus, every morning. Waking up, oh, I've got to do my passage for today. I've got to write out everything. Oh, Lord, yes, this. And I would walk through the tabernacle of Moses every day, and I knew all about the outer court, and I knew about the holy place and the holy of holies. And you come to the altar of sacrifice, and you do this. You come into the laver, and that's the wash basin of the Word of God. And you come into the bread of life and the candlestick, the light. Hey, the whole thing, man, I did that for 25 years. I love Jesus every day. Good morning, Lord. I love you. Man, I was religious. Could you not watch? Wow. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Jesus, oh, that's what you were doing every morning, being still. You didn't come with your list. You didn't come with all your burdens. You just came to be still. Wow. 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 Be still and know. Well, now, son, there's a woman with an issue of blood on your trail today. Son, there's a blind man down the road. Hey, at about 12:15, you're going to meet a leper on the way. That's what I'm up to today, son. That's what I'm up to today. Oh, thanks, Dad. Wow, am I ever glad I dropped in? Am I ever glad I shut up and just listened? Am I ever glad I just, whoa, went back to that psalm? Wow, that psalm is just, ooh, be still. Drop everything. Drop everything. Oh, man, drop everything. Oh, man, what a transformation. And I will be exalted among the nations. And I will be exalted in the earth. Everywhere that Jesus went, God was exalted. You know why now? Can you put your check mark down? You got it in here. I dare you to start doing it if you haven't already. Man, I don't know how many years I spent with all the lists. Man, I had a big job to do. Man, I had all the ministries in Israel that we were praying for. Man, every Tuesday, like clockwork, wow, let's get into this. This is time. Praise God. We remember you in prayer, folks. Oh, God, Bible, every morning, oh, God, open the Scriptures, the passage for today. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, absolutely. Oh, God, I'm right with you. Got my program lined up here. Help me with my program today. Be still and know that I am God. Drop everything. And I will be exalted among the nations. Everywhere that Jesus went, God was exalted. I could bawl from now to the end of this service right now. This idiot. Please, I'm okay with calling myself an idiot. I've had psychological training. I'm really okay to say this. I'm actually feeling great. I've put a few check marks today, and you know, hey, everything's okay between me and Jesus. Look at this idiot, what he was doing. The work of his own hands was just going strong. The work of my own hands was accomplishing everything I set out to do until I discovered the work of my hands didn't really count for too much. He said, now would you like to carry out the work of my hands? You'll find both of those in Scripture. The work of his hands and the work of your hands. Want to put a check on that one? Oh, when the Lord gave me this point, I laughed for about a half an hour. I can't even think of it without starting to laugh. What the vision, then the question, could you not watch? And then how to do it? Be still. And then the next one, the place. Where's the place? Isn't this a love relationship? Now, please, please, don't think me sacrilegious when I talk about this. Jesus was waiting to become pregnant with what's on the Father's heart. I discovered something amazing. You know that term, ladies in waiting? It's a very beautiful term. When I grew up, you just said that very politely, and there was just, that's a lady in waiting. Okay? Then the Lord showed me something really crazy. He said, Clyde, hang on. I'm going to turn you into a man of waiting. I laughed for about 20 minutes hilariously. I couldn't hold my belly straight. I couldn't stand on the floor straight. I was just moving around the room I was in, just hollering with laughter. I'm going to be a man in waiting. I'm going to get pregnant with what God shows me. Oh, that's awesome. God loves me so much, he's going to get me pregnant. He's going to get me pregnant with what the Father's doing in heaven. I'm going to wake up each morning and I'm going to go into heaven, and the Father and I are going to love one another so much, we're going to enjoy one another's presence so much, that he's going to transfer the seeds of operation for that day to my human heart, and those seeds are going to explode inside of me, and man, I'm going to go out there on the highway and boom! He will be exalted among the nations. Oh, man. Oh, Lord, this is exciting. This is so exciting. we becoming pregnant by waiting upon the Lord. Oh my goodness. Tell me, do you know any woman in her right mind that isn't hilariously excited when she gets pregnant? We waited 5 years, and I'll never forget the morning my wife found out she was pregnant with our first daughter. We were standing in an office in Montreal, Canada, and she was coming in to work with me, and we had been trying, and we had been trying, and we had been trying. And there's my neat little bride, Marion, walking in. I can still see her in her green suit, walking into the office with these lovely white collars. I can still see her standing there coming. Says, I feel sick in my tummy. And then the words came out. I think I'm pregnant. I think I'm pregnant. And she was. The crackers started rolling. She was pregnant. Oh, friends, God has so much more. You get pregnant with God every day. You get pregnant with the seed from heaven every day. And let me tell you, the Lord will be exalted on your pathway that day. He'll be so exalted. He'll be so blessed. He'll be so in you and through you and in every way you can imagine. He'll be there. He'll be there. Now, can you put a check mark over all the above, or do you have to? You got that? The check mark. Here it is. Okay. Now, notice the design of that check mark. Just study it. Black going down, white going up. Okay. God gave me this as a vision. And I said, Lord, what in the world are you talking about? I saw this check mark sitting in front of me. What is it? Old men dream dreams and young men see visions? Is that it? Isn't that the scripture somewhere I read in the Bible? Tell me, all you students. Is it old men have dreams and young men see visions? Is that it? Okay, I'll pass on that one. Okay, well, I have both, so I figured I was middle-aged. Okay, so I had a vision. I had a vision of this. And the Lord gave me a verse. And he said, go to 1 John 1:6. And he said, now this is going to help you in relation to your checklist every day. This is going to help you. I thought, okay, all right. Let's see what it has to say. Oh, thank you, Lord. Well, why don't we begin at verse 5? You know, like in context. Fellowship with him and one another is written in my Bible at 1 John 1, verse 5. It says, this is the message we have heard from him and declare unto you, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Oh, just check the diagram out. See any light there? God is light, and in him is no darkness. First clue. No darkness in God, full of light in God. Check? Good. All right. If we say we have fellowship with him, good morning, Lord. And let's go on here, fellowship with him, and walk in darkness. We lie.
Whoa. We lie?
We lie. Ever been horribly afraid? You really did something that was out of order? You really went off the rails? Any darkness to that? Oh, God, I'm so afraid. I said something I shouldn't have said. Oh, God, forgive me. Now, there's no darkness to that, is there? No, it's just hanging around like a filthy cloud over your head and in your heart. Darkness. You got one of those? You got a little cloud anywhere today? If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Well, why don't I give it the Williamson version that the Lord taught me? Oh, Lord, write this down if you want. Cost you 20 shekels each. This is patented, so please. That was a good place. Father, if I say I'm having fellowship with you, and at the same time there is a cloud, there is a heavy, there is something black here, something foreboding, something just, hey, woo, I don't like this, that I wake up with. I don't like this fear in the middle of the night. I don't like this fear when I go downtown. I don't like this whatever. It's black. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, there is a lie, zip, present. There's darkness present. So, if we say we have we lie and do not the truth. Interesting. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Zip. Check. Darkness. I'm having fellowship. Praise God. I ask forgiveness for the darkness. Hey, I chased that fear out. Hey, fear, you don't belong here. Gone. Woo! I'm walking in the light, man. I was going to walk in the light here. And the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son, cleanses us from all sin. You know something? I had no idea when the Lord gave me that verse in 1978 that that would become my life verse to understand spiritual darkness. And everywhere I went, I began to share with people 1 John 1:6 when they would come to me with a heavy. And I would say to them, first of all, let's clear the deck here. Have you got a medical problem? Well, get medical help. Now, that's established, okay? But if it's not a medical problem, then we got a spiritual problem here. And I would talk to them, and time after time after time, they would say, well, I had a fight with my wife last night. You know the list. There's just an endless list of stuff that causes spiritual darkness. Okay? It's there all the time. You got to deal with it all the time. I have to deal with it every day. And I'm 63 years in Jesus. Now pay attention closely. And I've been on this planet for 10 more years than that. Check that out. Okay? So now I come and I say, Lord Jesus, help this person. And I would say, let's do one of two things here. Let's check out to see if we're going to find out what the darkness is, or God is going to show us the truth, and it's like lighting a candle in a room, the darkness is gone. Right? So if you bring in the truth, all of a sudden the darkness just goes and it's gone. Sometimes you have to find the darkness. Sometimes the Lord reveals the darkness because he says, if you understand what the darkness is, hey, you can take authority of it and the light will go on. Zip, zip. Great. Now, the interesting thing about what happened to me in a very key stage in my life about understanding light and darkness, fellowship and not fellowship, and what was going on, the very interesting thing that took place is I came alongside a medical doctor who was a psychiatrist and who helped patients all the time as a believer. And one day at a rally, at a meeting, we got talking and we got sharing. And he was yakking about how he was involved in all kinds of wonderful works of seeing his patients and friends and congregational members released from darkness. I said, well, tell me about it. And he said, well, there's a verse in the Bible, 1 John 1:6. And he says, that's what I use. I said, you're a medical doctor and that's what you use? He said, yes, that's my baseline. I said, I don't believe this. I don't believe this. But you see, don't get any funny ideas about, you know, well, now I'm just, you know, on a pill. Hey, we can both do this together. Hey, man, he's got all these years of background. He understands all the language and the lingo, and he can talk to all those people out there about, you know, this is the problem, and that's one, and it's psychiatric this, and it's blah, 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 blah. And he's got all the background to talk about everything that is. I don't have any of that. But praise God, I can identify darkness and light. That's enough for me in my position. Hey, that okay? The challenge. Checking out each and every darkness that comes. Of recent, last 2 or 3 months, I've wakened up with darkness in the night. My darkness in the night is extraordinary. I said, Lord, I don't understand my darkness in the night. And so I would begin to look at that darkness and I would apply 1 John 1:6. Because believe me, the darkness was quite frightening at times. I'm not talking about Clyde Williamson 20 years ago. I'm talking about Clyde Williamson last week. Okay? I'm talking about how do you face this darkness? Well, first of all, I said, Lord, thank you for allowing me to see that this is darkness. I know that you've allowed this for a reason, and I begin to watch. And I begin to wait. And I just listen in my heart. What's the Father up to here? And he begins to talk to me about the darkness. And he begins to show me things as to why he's made me sensitive to that darkness. And in being sensitive to that darkness, he's been teaching me how to pray for all different kinds of spiritual battles going on around me. Wow. You know something, friends? You read your Bible, I'll read mine. I never understood the Apostle Paul. I would that you pray in tongues. I never understood. He said, I pray in tongues more than you all. It's in the same chapter. Friends, I want to tell you something. My life and praying like the Apostle Paul prayed has taken a leap forward like I can't believe. Suddenly, I'm realizing you've given us a tool in the midst of intercession to invade the heavens in a language we don't understand, so that by the grace of God, out of our belly can flow streams of stuff before the throne of God that we haven't even got a clue what we're praying. All we have is the faith. Well, Paul talked about it. Man, I'm in this dark tunnel. Woo! And I just pray and pray and pray in that heavenly language. I pray and I pray and I pray and I pray and... Gone. Wow. And then he goes on to qualify it later. He says, well, you know, this isn't for the assembly. This is for you in private. Oh, wow, I got that one. I got that one. That's really clear. I wouldn't want to have these ghostly prayer meetings out in public. That just wouldn't work. But, oh, man, in private? Oh, God, thank you. Thank you, I can enter into the heavenly realms. Thank you, I can go into spiritual warfare. Thank you, I can deal with these things that come in the middle of the night, in the middle of the day, any time at all. Father, it's awesome. You've equipped me to do this. So, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, there's a lie. You got that? But if we confess that, if we see it, if we get rid of it, we walk in the light. Okay, put a check down and let me conclude. We've had the vision. We've had the question, could I not watch? We've got the precept, be still. We've got the place, love God and get pregnant. That's sort of like a daily exercise. Wow, that's awesome. The challenge, 1 John 1:6. Okay, so you're in there, right? Okay, you got your challenge now. Keep that darkness out. You choose. Now I'm going to be really sinful here this morning. All of you people that have never watched a movie, please forgive me for saying I actually watched a movie. Okay? But forgive me. I watched Ghost Town. Please, forgive me. Anyway, if you haven't watched it, you don't need to watch it. God gave it to me, okay? You don't need to watch it. I watched it. It just was a happenstance I watched it. You know, I fly a lot. And I just happened to watch this, and it was about a dentist. And who cares about the story? But the story was so perfect. These ghosts followed this living dentist around, but they were dead. And they had unfinished business. And they were coming to this living man, talking to this living man, because he was one of the living people that were open to talking with ghosts. And they were pleading with this man, please help me. I left unfinished business. There was something that I didn't say to my wife that I wanted to say. There was this problem that rose up. I didn't get a chance. And if they only knew that the teddy bear was hidden under the front seat, my little son wouldn't think his father left this world and left him on his own. He's crying out every day, I want my daddy. If he only knew where that teddy bear was, he would know exactly the circumstance and he would know that I loved him. And all that kind of stuff. Well, now, what in the world am I sharing about Ghost Town for? He came to his senses. He stopped being selfish. He stopped living his own life. He said, wow, you mean I can help these people? It took him a little while to get the point. Oh, wow, I can actually do something to help these ghosts. At first, he wanted nothing to do with them. But one by one, he visited them and said, how can I help you? Who can I go to? How can I get this unfinished business looked after? Let's come to the end of the film. Let's stop the film rolling right there. Let's see what the point is. I'm sitting there watching it, and the Holy Spirit says to me, well, Clyde, would you like to get rid of your old ghosts? He said, you know the old ghost about the leaders of that church where you didn't have such a good time? You remember the old ghost, that superintendent, and the way that happened and the way this turned around and so on? You still got the feelings inside about that circumstance, right? He said, now, Clyde, I want to ask you a question. Is anybody else bothered about that circumstance that you were in with that guy or that girl? Is anyone else bothered with this but you? Well, nobody else knows about it, Lord. So, who's bothered by it? You. Would you like to get rid of it? I sure would. Lord Jesus, please forgive me. Please forgive me for hanging on to this ghost. Please forgive me for hanging on to this stupid thing that's 35 years old, 22 years old, 15 years old, last week. Please forgive me for hanging on to the ghosts. And let her go. Now, I am watching very carefully because I was advised as to exactly where you head in this service, time-wise, so I'm really looking closely here. Let me conclude. Let's go to Isaiah 62. Now, this is a scripture you all know. And we'll be finished. Isaiah 62, 6 and 7. I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent. Give him no rest till he establishes, until he makes Jerusalem a praise in all the earth. Watchmen. And Jesus came before the Father. Father, what's up today? What's up today? What are you up to today? Watchman. Clyde, being a watchman is not what you thought it was. I want you to see what I'm up to. I want you to be still. I want you to get pregnant every day. And I'll give you a checkup every morning to make sure there's no darkness in your closet. And you'll be on your trail for today as my watchman in the midst of the people I've sent you to. And furthermore, Clyde, I've commissioned you in 1 Peter 2:19 to be part of my royal priesthood. Now, I don't know about you, Clyde, but I think we're just going to let you know that you have a garment that's really, really beautiful. I just want you to know when you wake up this morning and start your day that you have been received and you are a king's kid. And when you start out on that road today, it's not you, it's me. You're my kid. And you just acknowledge that wherever you go. And you act the role, just like my son did, with humility, with grace, with long-suffering. And I'm going to bless you. And let's conclude with Revelation 16, verse 15. Are you ready? You ready? Revelation 16, 15. Now look at the diagram. You get rid of the darkness and you walk in the light. And what's this verse say? Blessed is he who watches. Check. God bless you.